despised you. I started with Jesus, and I'm going through. Well, I'm going through. Yes, I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever.
How many of you can say that's your desire tonight? That you really are determined to go through with this thing? I'll tell you what, the best part about all of it is you didn't start it and you're not going to finish it. He started it and He'll bring you to where you're supposed to be. Aren't you glad for that tonight? Aren't you glad that He's starting to work in you and He's big enough to complete it? Give Him a real nice hand clap of praise tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of God tonight on this cold Saturday night? But we're going to have a good, warm time in here tonight. Are you glad to be in church? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in church on Saturday night. Play some more of that, guys. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, you can beat that. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a privilege it is to say praise the Lord. Amen. And you know what? If you're part of the Lord's despised few, I'm glad to be identified with you tonight. It's a privilege to be a Christian. Here in Satan's Eden, when the world is turned upside down and everything that's right is wrong, I'm glad to be a Christian. I'm glad to embrace this truth. Are you glad to embrace this message tonight? Are you glad this message has embraced your life? It has totally changed you from what you used to be. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Jesus one more hand clap of praise tonight. Blessed be the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated. We'll look at our prayer requests tonight. I have a couple in my family I want you to pray about tonight. Mae Blevins, Bob's wife, she's not doing very well at this time. And Bob's real concerned about her. I want you to pray for her tonight, if you will. Also, Ruth, my sister, her granddaughter, has got an appointment on Monday with a specialist. And they're very concerned over some things that's going on in her life right now. She's, I think, maybe 20, 21 year old. So remember her in prayer tonight, if you would. Sister Connie Cook says, I have a few health issues that I would like for you to pray about. We'll just commit those things unto the Lord. Brother Gary sends this in for Sister Lona. She is in a lot of pain in her neck and back, and she's asking that we would remember her tonight in prayer. Want to remember Brother Sam Clark. He's having problems with his legs. He needs a touch from the Lord. So let's pray for Brother Sam. Want to pray for Brother Pete Lawson, who has a stomach virus. So let's pray on his behalf tonight that the Lord would touch him. And Brother Probst says that the Lord came on the scene this week and worked out some financial problems in his life, and he wants to really thank the Lord for coming on the scene on his behalf. Brother Dan Dyer says, I want to thank Jesus Christ for healing both of my hands. The surgeon did a good job, but Jesus Christ healed them. He is faithful and true. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is from a Gregory Badenhorst. I hope I got that right. Please pray for Brother Edgar Roscoe. He's the pastor of a tabernacle in Johannesburg. His wife, Sister Sheila, passed away from the results of a car accident on Tuesday. Please pray for the family and the church. Also for safe traveling mercies for believers from across the world that will be going to the funeral on December the 14th. So we certainly want to commit that request unto the Lord. Remember that family and that church family, that the Lord would just be with them. I want to pray for Sister Bonnie Jordan, who is in Savannah Hospital with a brain hemorrhage. Let's just pray that the Lord would be with her and touch her tonight. Brother Brett Lawson says to please pray for a possible job opportunity and for God's will concerning this situation. Also pray for the salvation of my family. So that's a good request. We'll just commit that need unto the Lord tonight. Ask God to have His divine will. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have something you'd like for this group to pray about, we've got a lot of folks here, not here tonight because of sickness, one thing or another. So let's pray for those folks as well. Our pastor and Brother Darrell, Brother Daniel, that's on a trip, a hunting trip. Let's pray for their safety, and may the Lord just refresh them with a good trip. Hope they have a wonderful trip, don't you? Amen. While I'm thinking about this, the new church directory, they have those available for you over in the library, one per family, please. So if you want to get those tonight or in the morning, they have them for you over in the library. Remember that. Are you glad to be in church tonight? Let's stand to our feet. God bless you tonight. Brother Ron Sherman, I want you to come tonight. Lead us to the Lord in prayer. If you would, let's just take these things to the Lord. Ask God to have His divine will. All these requests tonight. You believe He's able?
Amen.
Do you really believe He's able?
Amen.
Amen. Brother Ron, God bless you tonight, buddy. Appreciate you.
I believe He's more than able. Let's go ahead. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You, Lord, for all that You do for us, Lord. Even little things, Father, things that we're not aware of during the day. And, Lord, we want to give You an invitation, Lord, to come tonight, Lord, and minister Your people, Lord. You see the needs of each one, Lord, here in the sanctuary, Lord, the prayer requests which I hold in my hand, Lord, the ones that are sick, Lord. And Father, You know each condition, Father. We just ask that You'd make a way for each one, Lord. And, Father, the testimonies that we received that we came on the scene, we thank You for that too, Lord Jesus. Pray, Lord, tonight for the minister as he comes forth, Lord. May You give him a special anointing, Lord. You see the needs in Your body here, Lord. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting with us tonight in this service, we want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service tonight, may God bless our brothers and sisters from around the world. Let's sing a little song that says, get up in Jesus' name. Ain't no time to lay around now, is it? We're too close to the home, aren't we? Somebody say, I believe it. Amen. Somebody say, I really believe it. Praise the Lord. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down defeated while victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Saw his name was bad. They had no gold or silver, but they gave him what they had. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down defeated while victory's here.
Evil everywhere, the body seems discouraged.
the Lord. I believe he's looking for some folks to get up in Jesus' name, don't you? Amen. Let's sing another little song tonight just before we have our specials. Brother Chuck has us a special tonight. Sister Smith is here. She has us a special or two. Everyhow, she would have that plan tonight. We're so glad to have Brother Dale Smith and his wife with us in the services this weekend. The Lord's going to give us a good time here. I believe that with all of my heart. We'll get just exactly what we expect. Every one of us will. Let's sing it. Give me Jesus. Amen. Let's sing about it tonight. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, just give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus.
You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. Oh, now when I am alone, Lord, so alone,
when I am alone,
hallelujah,
just give me Jesus.
Oh, sing it to him. Just give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus.
Oh, just give me,
I need,
give me sweet Jesus.
You can have all this world.
God bless you tonight. Well, you're just singing so good, I don't know what to do right now. But I'm going to let you be seated. We'll have a couple of songs tonight. Brother Chuck is going to give us a song if you'll come. Sister Smith, if you want to come onto the platform and be getting ready to sing, we'll go right on into the service. We'll give Brother Dale plenty of time to minister the word of the Lord tonight. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I know I have you say that a lot, but I'm going to tell you something. You can't praise him too much. You can't say thank you, Jesus, too much. He's worthy of every bit of it, right? Let's give our singers a nice hand as they sing for you tonight.
I can't get that other song out of my head. I can't even get the tune to the song. I'm sorry. I never saw the cross he carried up to Calvary. Hill. I never saw the precious blood that my Savior spilled. I never heard the mob that cried, "Oh, let him be crucified." Though I never saw it, I believe for me he died. And every step he took to Calvary, and a lot of things I cannot see. Oh no, but I believe when Jesus died, he died for me. I never saw the many burdens that my Savior bore. I never saw the crown of thorns that my Jesus wore. And I never saw that where he was crucified. No, I never saw it. Oh, but I believe for me he died. And every step he took to Calvary. And there's a lot. Jesus died. He died for me.
As he sent his children to extend his mercy. So they journeyed down the old path that led to much destruction. All the while their loving hearts were hurting. Their hopes were crushed inside as their compassion was denied. The woman they so loved seemed like a stranger. Heartbroken and alone, they took the long way back home. For sin now reigned and hope seemed gone to change her. One day the word was told, some slaves were being sold. A restless love sent Hosea seeking. One by one they brought them in, so beaten down within. But in his chest his anxious heart was beating. All at once she caught his eye. From his lips the bids were high. She could not believe the voice that she was hearing. Would he in judgment take her life, forever end his pain and strife? What would happen as she saw him drawing near her? I've come to take you home. I know that you've done wrong, but for you I gave my life. Through the sorrow, pain, and strife, I could never let you go. Let's leave the past behind. Love conquers one more time. He took her hand and said, there's a new day just ahead. I've come to take you home. Well, I'd stood in that same place, bound by sin, a broken slave. From the depths of my despair, I prayed for mercy. I heard his word, he paid the price. On the cross, he gave his life. He took my hand and said, now, child, you're in the family. I've come to take you home. I know that you've done wrong, but for you, I gave my life. Through the sorrow, pain, and strife, I could never let you go. Let's leave the past behind. Love conquers one more time. He took my hand and said, there's a new day just ahead. I've come to take you home. There's a new day just ahead. I've come to take you home.
Let's sing this chorus as Brother Dale comes out.
I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain.
Together, Heavenly Father, we come this evening, Lord, realizing that, Lord, without that redemption, Lord, without the price that you paid at Calvary, surely we'd all be lost, Lord. There's none good, no, not one. And we pray, Almighty God, that, Lord, as we draw nearer to that day, Lord, will you lay claims upon your purchased possession. Lord, that we would become more aware of the price. Lord, so aware of redemption's price. Lord, that we would just humble ourselves as we see that day approaching. Lord, we just pray now this evening as we gather around the Word of God. And Lord, we realize that there's nothing that I could do as a mortal that would help these people. Lord, I may be able to hold their hand or wipe their fevered brow, but Lord, you would have to come, Lord, to heal the heart. You would have to come to cleanse the soul. And so, Lord, we yield ourselves to thee, Lord, as best that we know, and pray, Father, that you'll move amongst us. Move up and down through the aisles, O God, and Lord, discern every thought and every intention of every life, O God. And Lord, we pray that you'll meet those needs, Lord, according to your riches and glory. For we have committed them unto you, and we know that you're able to keep that which we have committed, for it's laid up in the great clearinghouse of God. Lord, against that day, Lord, we pray. Pray that you bless each one now. Heal the sick and the afflicted. Lord, save the lost and the undone. Bless your faithful children, I pray, in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you, friends. If you have your Bibles, invite you over into the Psalms 126. And I have a feeling something's not right.
They said you know.
They're going to get me fixed, I'll guarantee you right now. Well, that little switch, it didn't have an on or off.
It's on now.
Okay, well, I had a 50-50 chance. I didn't know which one it was. Amen. All right, well, I'm glad that he never gets turned off. Amen. He's always on. Praise the Lord. Well, I got gadgets and I've got gizmos and I got old school, new school, something new, something borrowed and something blue. Amen. Let's have a wedding. Psalms 126. And there we will begin reading at verse 1. So when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. And they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. May the Lord bless the reading of the word as you make yourselves comfortable. We want to take a little time this evening. I don't know. I trust we'll finish it all. I got another thought I'd like to carry for tomorrow, but we'll just let the Lord guide us along the way. And, you know, we just want to make sure that we say the things that are needful based on the leading of the Spirit of God. I want to title our message this evening, The Great Drama. The Great Drama. And we want to begin reading in a message that Brother Brown preached, Shalom, 1964. He says, now to you adults, the scripture is God's symphony. Yes. Hallelujah. Only the composer knows what it really means. And he reveals it to those who are listening, who are interested in knowing what the drama is. And so we realize that that here the great composer is God. He's the one that wrote the word, because he tells us that the scripture is the symphony. Now, just a little bit of background here. The symphony is the sheet music, as it were, to a piece of music, or in this case, Brother Ram's showing how that it's which we'll get into here a little bit, that it was a drama, that the music actually has a story behind it. He gave an example of a message or a symphony that I believe Rebecca was involved in, called the Peter and the Wolf. Now, my literary genius doesn't go very far. I don't know the first thing about Shakespeare or Peter and the Wolf or any of those things, but I understand the concept that there was a story behind the music, and I appreciate my wife singing that song. It's a very good example that she sang. It was a story placed into music, and we could understand that and draw it from the scripture. Now, but he goes on to say, but you have to know about a sympathy first. Now, symphony and sympathy sound quite a bit alike, but based on the definition that I just gave you of a sympathy would be quite different. And because we think of a sympathy as being sympathetic, being empathy or something like that, feeling a feeling towards someone else, bearing another one's burden, or having a compassion of sorts towards somebody. And I was listening to a message quite a few years ago. Maybe some of you that's been here a while will remember Brother George Martin. He preached here at this church many years ago, and probably, oh my, have to be 15 or 17 years ago probably. And he caught this in the message and actually brought a definition from the from a dictionary that he found that gave a definition of a sympathy to be the notes of a symphony that only the learned can follow.
And so I thought, wow, that's quite interesting that Brother Branham would say that God's word is the symphony, but in order to understand the symphony, you would have to know about a sympathy first. So that there was actually, just to simplify that, that the prophet of God tells us that he could write a letter, but in that letter to his wife or his wife to him, that he had the ability because of the relationship that he had with his wife, that she could say, God bless you, honey. I see that, we're doing good. We're fixing to lay the kids down to bed. And he said, but I could read between the lines. I could say, I knew what she was really saying, and how much that she missed him and so forth. And so here, in order to understand the symphony, we would have to know about a sympathy first, see? And the notes of a symphony that only the learned can follow. Now, drop back into what Brother Brown was telling us about this sympathy. It's not just something that you see. Because you could take the sheet music of a symphony, and I don't know if there's any orchestra personnel that are here. We've got some very talented musicians and what more. You could take the sheet music of a symphony and lay it before us, and it wouldn't mean a whole lot to me personally. It would just be a lot of chicken scratch on a paper. I wouldn't understand the first part of it unless it had some words or pictures or something. And so that I can understand it in my language, because music is a language of its own. But Brother Brown tells us here, it's not just something that you see. So there has to be something more to it. Somebody had to pull you aside as a part of the symphony and take you aside and begin to explain to you the story behind the symphony as it was the expression of the composer. Because the composer, being the one who wrote it, that he had an inspiration when he wrote it. He had a thought when he wrote it. And so the different ones like Mozart and Beethoven and Bach and different ones that wrote these great pieces of symphony and orchestra type music, that they had an inspiration behind it that led them to come into the great movement. One of my great favorite classical songs was I forget who the composer was, but it's a song or a symphony called Bolero. And Bolero is just a fantastic piece of music, because it starts out ever so quietly. And as it's a quite a long piece actually, and it has four specific movements through this great symphony. And as it plays out, it starts out very low and very quiet, and so you turn your volume up just so you can hear it, and then you forget about it, and then it just starts building and building and building until finally at the end, it's the cymbals are crashing, the horns are playing, the drum is beating out, and oh my, you just get caught away in it. You get swept away, and I don't know what the story is behind Bolero personally. I guess maybe if anybody's got a little insight on that, I would appreciate it. But I have my own inspiration, because I listen to it and I just feel that, because Brother Ram talked about that preview of the bride. And so I just think about that when I hear that song there, just the playing out of that great symphony. It's the playing out of the preview of the bride. She started way back in the ages, and then in that particular piece, there's a part of it where it changes from the strings and from a real like Brother Ram said, it's not really a march, but more like a walk, like a onward Christian soldiers. But then there's a part of it where you can hear that it's almost like something surly and something, seductive sweeps in, and it's like saxophone and not that I'm thinking it's saxophone or anything, but it's more of a jazz kind of sound to it, And you can see that, and I just thought in my mind, oh, there's that other bride coming in, and that Satan bride coming in, and then this other one comes, another one comes, and oh my, it's just my little peanut brain just kind of gets a little excited about those things. And so as we see the symphony is playing out, and Brother Bram tells us it's not just something that you see. It's the changing. It's the junctions of the word of the music. And so there's this symphony, this Word of God. We take the Bible, and we realize that there's many a scholar that could read the page. We could give it to infidel. We could give it to unbeliever, and they could read the words of the page, and all it would be is words to them. It wouldn't mean anything if there wasn't some kind of a spirit that was anointing that to bring a revelation to quicken, amen, what the spirit was behind the word, because Jesus said, my word is spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So now it's the junctions of the word. And so the symphony, we could draw it out for you and show how that it has these different movements. And they use, I believe it's Italian words or Latin. It talks about the avente, which is the very beginning. And it finishes with the great finale or the crescendo at the end. And so there's this, there's other pieces in the middle. And so it throws something. Sometimes it's going this way for a while, like I was saying. And then it's a certain beat. And after a while, it changes all around. He said, what is it to you who wouldn't understand or don't know nothing about it or not interested? Boy, you see a lot of that today, don't you?
Yeah.
I find that there's a place, a word in the message that Brother Bram uses quite frequently. It's called a word indifference. Indifference don't mean right or left, up or down. It just means don't care. And so as the this indifference, and so Brother Bram actually says it doesn't mean anything to you if you're not interested in it. So we're talking about the Word of God. And so as we speak about the Word of God, then there has to be an interest. There has to be something, or you won't pursue it any further. If there's not an interest, if there's not a motivation for you to study the Word of God or to see what God says, that you're not interested in what God has to say. You're not interested in what the Spirit is saying to the church. If those things don't interest you, then all you're hearing coming out of my mouth is like the old Charlie Brown. You know, you're just hearing the teacher, blah, 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 blah. And it's just a preacher up there, and he's just saying a bunch of blah, 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 blah. And you're Charlie Brown. You're just sitting there in another world thinking about Peppermint Patty and Snoopy. And so, you know, your mind is somewhere else, and all I am is blah, 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 and all Brother Donnie is just a higher pitched version and a little faster version of blah, 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 and, you know, and somebody else come along, and they may be a little slower version, but it's just blah, 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 and you don't understand it because you don't care. But there's going to come a day, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, amen, that you will care. I had an uncle one time. I have an uncle, and then I had an uncle, and I had a great uncle. At one time, they were both living. They both passed on now. They both went to two different places. And but the one of them, he had been a Assemblies of God pastor for about, I think he said, some close to 70 years is the way I understood it. And that's a long time to pastor. That's a long time to be alive, let alone pastor. But he was a pastor of the same church, Paul Vedere Assembly of God in Paul Vedere, New Mexico, for close to 70 years. And he lived to be well into his 90s. I think he was like 96 or 98 years old when the Lord took him. But I had another uncle who was on one of the big aircraft carriers in the South Pacific that was hit by kamikazes, and it actually the ship actually survived. He had spent some days on the sea in a life raft and different things. He had had quite a as a naval personnel. He had some powerful testimony of what he went through in the Second World War, and through this he had actually taken shrapnel. And he was had been given Purple Heart and several other things, commendations. And then they gave him a medical discharge. And all he did was study religion from the day he left the military until the day he died. And denied Christ every waking moment of his life. He had nothing to do, but he studied religion. He was fascinated with all the religions of the world. He studied the Jains and the Mohammedans. He studied Hinduism. He studied Buddhism. He studied all these different things. And he could talk your leg off. I mean, it was unbelievable the amount of information that this man had. But he got down to the end of his life, and he only had, I think, a quarter of one lung is all he had left. And he was smoking that to death. And never slowed down, just an amazing, just mentality there. And so he was just about to die. He was there in the hospital. And so my great uncle, Roy, the pastor, he was very faithful to go to the family members, as they would get ready to cross over, because he outlived them all of his 2-3 generations around him. And so he goes there to the hospital to see John. And so he goes in and says, John, he says, I know you know the Bible quite well. He said, have you ever decided or have you ever thought to make peace with God and to surrender your life over to the Lord Jesus? And John said, oh, Roy, he said, that stuff doesn't mean nothing. He said, I'm an agnostic. And so my Uncle Roy says, well, he says, I know you're an agnostic. And Roy didn't have a whole lot of education, but he got a lot of wisdom. And my Uncle Roy says, well, John, one thing's for sure. He said, about 2 seconds after you breathe your last breath, you won't be an agnostic anymore. And these people today, these young people that think that your life is going to go on for another 60 or 70 years and that you've got every opportunity in the world to give your life to Christ, that one of these days, amen, you're going to be interested. You may not care today, but there will come a day, amen, young person, old person, that you may not care today. You may think you got all the time in the world, but you don't have all the time in the world, amen. And there's going to come a day that you will be interested. But what will it be then? What time will it be then, sirs? Not interested in it. It's just a racket. It's a fuss. But to those who know about it, they're watching for it. They know it's coming. Hallelujah. They know. They're interested. Why? How did they get interested? By a birth, by an experience, by a conviction, by a predestination, by an election that began to stir on their heart, and they didn't turn that aside, but they became convinced and they became concerned about their soul and about their eternal destination, and they began to look into these things, and then they realized that this is one of the greatest dramas that there ever was. It's the greatest drama there ever was. My Uncle Roy, he told me, he said, I told my grandkids a long time ago, he said, the Bible's one of the most interesting books I've ever written. He said, this thing, he's got cowboys and Indians in it. He said, it's got love stories, it's got war movies, it's got everything you want. It's all right there in the Bible. You know, there's deceit and lying. There's spies. There's espionage. There's everything in it. Oh my! Every inspiration for every movie, amen, was drawn right straight from the scripture. We were talking the other day. A brother was telling me that he read I think it's an autobiography or it was some sort of an article written, and I don't remember the man's name that come up with Star Wars. And he said he based his entire inspiration for the whole Star Wars movie right from the Bible. He confessed that. Oh my friends, think about it. That every inspiration that's good at versus evil. It's boy meets girl. Imagine that first meeting of boy meets girl. We wouldn't be able to make too big of a movie out of that. I mean, there wasn't boy meets girl, only girl, only boy. Oh, I guess we'll get together, It just kind of didn't go too much further than that. And, But it didn't stay there because God is writing the drama.
Yeah.
You know, could you imagine a movie? You go to the movie, which I trust that you don't do this, but that if you did, and we all sit down and we watch the movie. Boy meets girl, girl meets boy. He gives her flower. They walk through the park. They sit down on the park bench. He asks her to marry him. She accepts. They go see the preacher. They get married. They go buy a nice little house. He gets a job, 9 to 5. He comes home. They have lovely children together. They live happily ever after. And then they die. That's the worst movie I ever seen. You see that God don't work that way. He is the greatest author. He's a great composer. He understands that he has certain needs. He has certain attributes about God. And so he said, wait, I got this beautiful creation. I have all this. I have man. I have woman. But that's not good enough because I have attributes. I have to be a savior. I have to be a healer. I have to be a deliverer. I have to be a redeemer. I have to be a creator. I have to be all these things. And so now I've got to create myself a villain. Oh, glory to God. So he made himself a villain. He pulled this villain out of his own angelic creation, brought a great coup d'etat in heaven, and they tried to overthrow heaven. Oh, somebody say hallelujah tonight. Amen. They tried to overthrow heaven, and then God cast them out, and they came down into the earth, and they walked upon the volcanic, and oh, what a time. Amen. Planning and manipulating and scheming. Oh, the devil. He said, well, he was always the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. Then you were in God. The Word. Watch. And the part that you're to play. Oh my. The part that you're to play. Was in God. Before the foundation of the world, he's seen you, he knew you, he predestinated you to it. Oh, can you imagine some great composer, some great movie director out there? You know, and they have all the auditions. I don't know if I'd get to this or not. I love telling this. My dad is a movie star. Jack Smith. You probably never heard of him. But he was a movie star. He asked my wife. Raise your hand, hon. He's a movie star, wasn't he? He was in the movies anyways. And he had a bumper sticker on his truck said he was a movie star. So what else do you need? But my dad, he's just an old country bumpkin. He's just an old cowboy. And he never walked away from a fight, and he had the ugly face to prove it. And his old nose is just crooked about that long and just been broke more than once. And my dad was a rough, I got a picture of him right here, I'll show it to you. And he was a rough character growing up. Well, then when he got older, he kind of mellowed out, but one day he was sitting at the local gas station there, and he was minding his own business. He was drinking his Pepsi and, you know, reading the paper, and this guy come in, and right down the road is where they make all the Western movies. You go all the way back into the early 60s and 70s. They made all the Western movies. They made them right down there from about 18, 20 miles from where I live. Old John Wayne movies, the Cowboys. My grandpa actually knew John Wayne personally, sat down and eat lunch with him and gave him some of my grandma's biscuits. That's the truth. And I worked on the same ranch when I was a little boy. I never got to meet John Wayne, though. I sure wish I did. But my grandpa knew him personally. And I forget this other Indian guy that my dad knew personally. But they're real famous characters, you know. But the guy comes in the store. My dad just sitting there. Got his old black resist all felt hat on. His cowboy boots sitting there. His blue jeans on. Sitting there just like he had looked like for the last 50 or 60 years. He never changed. My dad just, that's the way he always was. He'd come from that place. And this guy comes in and, you know, he's got his Versace sandals on and his, you know, driving his Porsche, and he's got his, you know, kind of cockeyed hairdo on, you know, he's just one of them weird looking guys. And he comes in with his, you know, little sweater tied around his neck and preppy looking fella. And he comes in there and he walks around. My dad's, you know, kind of protective and, you know, he keeps his hand on his knife when somebody like that comes in. And the guy come in there and he looked at my dad, and this is what my dad said. He went and did one of these numbers at me. I'm thinking, back to you. You know? He didn't know what that meant. But that guy's looking at him. He's going. He goes, sir, would you like to be in the movies? And my dad sitting there with his Pepsi, he goes, how much does it pay? You know? And the guy says, he gave him a number. I forget what it was. I think back then it was pretty good pay. I think it was like $100 a day and all you can eat. And so he said, now what you're going to do, he said, you're going to go, he said, don't shave, don't shower, don't change your clothes, don't do nothing. Just get in your car and drive down to the set and tell him I sent you. I mean, he gave him his card and everything, sent him down there. My dad goes, wow, think about that. You know, didn't have to do nothing. And so where I was getting with that was that when they go to selecting the ones for the part of the characterization of who's going to be in the drama, that they want somebody that fits the part. You know, they weren't going to get some clean-shaven executive to go down there and be an old rough cowboy in a cowboy movie. But they wanted this guy that was just as rough and coarse that would fit the bill. But you know, now God, as he looks out over humanity, the Bible says that not many wise and not many noble and not many great things or great people are chosen. But he goes down and he looks through the Bowery and he looks through the brothel and he looks down through the ghetto and he goes to the crack house and the war victims, and he goes into the divorce cases, and he looks through every situation and he finds the worst, amen, the most despicable, the roughest, the most rejected of the world, and he begins to select people. He starts picking people out. He said, this is the one I want. This is the one I want. And so then he doesn't ask you to be a Pharisee. Pharisee means an actor. And so he doesn't want you to be a Pharisee, an actor, a pretend, a put on. That's not what he wants. He wants you to be real. He wants you to be genuine. He wants you to be who you are. Oh, let God take a hold of you. He'll give you the words to speak. He'll give you the act to act out. You just got to submit to his will. He says, the part that you're to play was in God before the foundation of the world. He's seen you, friend. He knows your name. He knows your name, friends. He's got you already on his billet. Amen. Oh, when the marquee goes up, your name will be on it. When the credits are passed out, amen, your name will be there. When it's rolling out, amen, at the end of the great drama, after it says the end, and then they start playing all these lists of names. You know, I was thinking about that every one of those guys, you know, you take, you know, John Wayne, or you take one of these other modern movie stars, I don't know their names, but you take one of them, but they always had their stunt man, their fill-in, that did all the dangerous stuff for them. They did all the nail-biter stuff, you know. Well, guess what? You get to do all your own stunts. You get to do all your own stunts. Amen. When it's life and death, it's going to be your life and death. When it comes down to your injury, or when it's your love affair, or when it's your situation, guess what? You get to do your own part. Oh, you get full credit for it too. Oh, so do it well. The prophet of God tells us that He said, these symphonies, the word of God, the whole drama changes. You who are interested, you listen for that change. You know it's getting close. You hear the way that the drums are beating. You can tell when that symphony is changing. It starts to build up and build up. You know there's something going to happen. You hear the way the drums are beating. You want something to happen. You know that it's a change. It's going to break out into a burst into a few minutes. See, you're watching for it. You can tell the way the drums are timing. Oh God, if you can hear the drums of the finish now, if you can hear the echo of the muses of the heavenly word singing itself out, it shall come to pass in the last days. He says, the sympathy of God's great drama that he's playing, it changes him. His sympathy at the junctions, the composer, and those who are listen, or who are interested, listen for the change. Because remember, God is always changing his mask. He changes his mask through the dispensational ages, and as he puts on his, and that's what the prophet of God told us was amorphe. Now then there's another word that the amorphe is actually, there was a little thing there that I come across, a radio preacher one time was talking about, and he actually used the word amorphe, and he's talking about how that amorphe was the changing of the mask of the hero or the heroine or the good, the positive side. We'll call it the white side. All right. And then, but there was another word that, cause there were certain actors that had to play out all these parts. You know, he would be maybe the barber, maybe he would be the janitor, or maybe he was the, and then he would put on another mask and he would be the Lone Ranger, you know? Well then over here on this other side, there would be one and he would be the villain. He would be the one that would change his mask, and he would be the corrupt police officer, or maybe he'd be the villain, the mobster, gangster, whatever he was on this side, and he was the one that was always doing all the bad stuff. The one over here was doing all the good stuff, you see. And the one over here that did all the bad stuff, the Greek word for him was Hippocrates. That's where we get the word hypocrite from. And so one over here was the amorphe God, the one over here was the hypocrite. The old devil, amen. Oh my, so we see these parts are beginning, and what kind of an anointing would be upon the people that if they're taking a change for the word, and they're interested in the word, and they're trying to promote the word, then that is amorphe God trying to manifest himself in your life and in my life. But over here, if we act like we're somebody today, and then tomorrow, amen, we're out in a strip joint, or we're out in some kind of a booze joint, or we're over here in some kind of a worldly thing, you know, missing, laying out of church and acting like the devil and doing all these other things. And then all of a sudden we show up and we're ever so nice and you're just the old hypocrite, see? That's just old Hippocrates. Oh my, it's making for a really good show. So the sympathy of God's great drama, it's playing, it changes him. Those who are interested. He said, that's what all this stuff is to us. We're listening. We're watching. Every time he appears, something happens. We see the time getting close. We see back yonder not long ago when those church ages was being drawn out. We were listening. We seen it was right with the word, beating with the word. After a while, what happened? Here he come himself and vindicated it. So here was a word being drawn out by the prophet, and he drew out all the eclipse of the moon and all the different light and everything, and here it was. And then to prove that that was right, then God comes back on the back wall and writes it out on the back wall. Prove that it was the right thing. And those that were listening for it, those who were waiting for it, then it happened, and when it happened, they saw it and they were able to receive it. Now, he goes on here, he says, I want to raise up at the last day, and only those who are included in this great symphony, God's word, Lord, as I have treasured a prayer, I like this. He says, as I've tried to explain it this afternoon, that's one that comes forth at the end of the sheet music with the great resurrection. And all the angels clap their hands. The saints go marching in. It's those who acted out that part in this great drama that we play.
Amen.
This great drama that we play. The words of Shakespeare. He says, all the world's a stage, and all men and women are merely players. Many of us have heard that part. Did you read the rest of it? Can anybody quote part of the rest of it? A little rest of the story. Paul Harvey for you here this evening. All men and women are merely players. They have their exits and entrances. And one man in his time plays many parts, his acts being seven ages. That's Shakespeare. Oh, you see what it was, that we all have a coming in and a going out. God takes his man, he leaves his spirit. The next one comes, he acts out his part. God takes his man, he leaves his spirit. He keeps going on. And every age has a dispensational anointing that comes upon it. And God, all the time, through 7,000 years of Satan's Eden, has been acting out the hero. He's been acting out through his people, through his church. He's been the hero. He's been the savior. He's been the bride. He's been the groom. He's been the messenger. He's been all these things. And Satan over here trying all the time, trying to thwart and to deceive and to deform and to pervert all the time. Each one, a great chess game of God, playing back and forth, trying to maneuver, trying to offset the other one. Oh, but God, amen, because he drew this thing out.
Amen.
He said, I know the beginning from the end. I am Alpha and I am Omega. Oh, my. The composer knows the end from the beginning. He knows all about it. That's the reason he could write it in here correctly.
Right.
You know, we always, before in the day, you'd always hear him say it, which I hope they don't ever say it no more around us, but I guess they probably could. The book is better than the movie. Oh, I seen the movie. The book is better. The book is better. But you are the movie. So you are the book. So there's no difference. You know, sometimes they say, you know, they in the book, it was such and such and such and such. In the movie, they left it all out. But in this one, everything that's in the book is in your movie. Amen. You must begin with him. You must begin if you want to hear the sympathy. You see, if you don't begin with him, then all you hear is the symphony. But if you begin with him, then you hear the sympathy. The notes that only the learned could follow. Only those that are educated. Those are the only ones that are interested. Oh, so how do we begin with him? Jesus said, you must be born again. And so then once we're born again, then we realize now that he can take us back to the beginning and he can begin to show us what happened in the Garden of Eden. He can bring us up to speed, you know, because sometimes we got in at the very last act here. And so now that because we're in at the last act, you know, what happened back there? What was that? You know, when you first came in, I remember when I first came to the Lord, I remember Jack Coe said it like this. He said, I didn't know the epistles from the apostles.
Yeah, right.
He said, as far as I knew, the epistles was the sons of the apostles.
Come on.
You know? And so he didn't know. I didn't know anything like that. I was completely ignorant of the word. Just completely, you know, and I would say, because I met my wife and my mother-in-law, they were to be, I wasn't married yet, but I was standing around, I was standing real close to their place, you know? Like an old hound dog. I found a place that'd feed me. I was going to stay. And so, and man, she made a meatloaf, boy, and make you slap your grandma, I'm telling you right now. And so, I was gonna hang out real close and get some of the groceries. But I was in there, I was a real young Christian, I loved the Word of God, and I loved to read it, and I'd be in there reading it, I'd read something, and my to be father-in-law. At that time, he'd be off doing work or he wouldn't be over there handy. And I'd run in there and I'd get down to my mother-in-law. I'd say, Sister Dorothy, what does this mean right here? And she'd look at me, I can't handle the word of God. You'll have to wait. Oh, man, that tear me up. So I was always, come on, somebody. I want to hear. I want to know. What was it? I didn't know what these things meant. Oh, I wanted somebody to fill me in. I got in pretty late. I thought I really got in late, Brother Terry. I thought I was at the very end of the end. I didn't think that anybody was going to get saved after me. I thought I was the last predestinated seed, and I was glad to get in. I'll tell you right now. Because I got interested. That's right, I got interested. And so, so I was wanting everybody to come in and fill me in on everything that had happened up to date. Well, you can't do that. That's 7,000 years of history. You don't get that overnight. You just gotta get the high points. And that's what the Bible does for us. It gives us all the high points to bring us up, to this last great act that we're in now. You must begin with Him, like the music at the sympathy. You listen. You know what it says. It's going to be what the symphony is. Then you begin to listen at the music and you know what it is. You know just about here, certain things about to take place. Now, it's got to change. Now, nobody else that don't know nothing about what they're just walked in, just sit down. It's just a bunch of nonsense, just a bunch of rattling noise. But the one who knows what it is, it's beat out with the music, it's drummed out with the notes, it's trumpeted with the trumpets, it's strung with the harps, it's played with the violins, it's beat on the bass, it's sounded by the trumpets, it's beat on the drums, the whole thing together in rhythm, and it's in concert, friends, and the drama, watch, friends, till you can close your eyes and live in it. My kids watched Ben-Hur and Ten Commandments till I believe at any given time they could lip sync that movie. And they could be whatever character you wanted them to be. And they always wanted me to be Masala, And I'd be laying there dying on the couch. And they wanted to act it out for him. I had to be the guy dying, or whatever. Oh, we had a great time with it, But they knew what the movie was. They had seen it so many times. They had watched it because that was the only thing that Brother Ben put a sanction on, he said, watch that movie, Ben-Hur. Well, they're going to watch it weekly, And so, that was Technicolor. That's what they wanted to watch. And so they could lip sync that. And in any part of our life where there would be a little something where it would remind them of that, then they would inject that little part of Ten Commandments in there, Ben-Hur or something, They're always injecting something in there and we'd get a big laugh from it, But they could come in at any moment. Anytime the movie was playing, they could leave, they could go away for, it's like 4 hours long, they could go away for an hour and a half, come back, a couple hours later, walk right in, sit down, know exactly what's going to happen next. They were in tune with this thing, And I wonder sometimes that if the people of God, we're not in tune with the word anymore. God could be doing something in the church and the Spirit of God would be moving. And some people, they're just like a mule looking at a new gate, wonder, what's that? Where have you been? This thing is a drama. We should know by the, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. These things shouldn't catch us unawares. You have to become part of the Word to know God's sympathy. His sympathy is when it's playing, you understand, you're marching with the beat of the time. You're watching for it. He said, the works that I do shall you do also. It's a great changing time. Yeah. It's a great changing time. Well, what does that mean, Brother Dale? Well, you need to go back. You need to pick up that seventh seal. Yeah. You need to go back and read the message or listen to the message. Look away to Jesus. And He'll tell you what time it is. He'll tell you that under that seventh seal that time was no longer. He'll tell you that time was going to run out under that seventh seal. That the way that we count time in a symphony, that there's a conductor there and he's got a certain tempo that he's got the people under, and he's moving that thing in a certain way. But then at a certain time, there was going to come seven mysterious unknown thunders that was going to sound out, and he was going to beat those things out like a thunder. And then when it did, then he was going to refer back to that at another time and tell you that that was the third pull. And that the third pull was the catching away of the church. It was the bride's revival. It was all these things that were wrapped up into these cliches that people just want to say third pull and seventh seal and seven thunders and all these kind of things and scare everybody half to death, and everybody thinks that they have exclusive revelation on it. Amen. But all you have to do is go back and listen to what the composer had to say about it and embrace what he said and then step into the sheet music and become that great amorphe part of your play. And you begin to act out your part. It's not a mystery. The mystery's been tore off. The seal has been tore off. The mystery. Oh my. It's a great changing of time. We get into the beat of the word. We find his purpose, the hour that we're living. We get into the rhythm of it, how it does. You get into the word. You find out how he did it at the beginning. Then you know how he's going to do it all the time. You can just step right in any old time. If you're just coming to the message right now, you don't have to be afraid. Just step right in. I like that song they sang, "Get Up," in Jesus' name. Excuse me. There we go. And so this thing is happening all the time. I've never been able to preach and cough at the same time. I just haven't figured that one out yet. All right. A little history for you. We won't keep past midnight or nothing like that. Now, I did a little study. What I thought was interesting, this just caught me. You say, well, when was the first movie? The first movie, motion picture. And I called up Brother Google. And first silent movie showed in 1906. The Great Train Robbery. I thought, imagine that. So I'm thinking, well, if this thing has evolved to what it is today, the computer generated super sci-fi things that they have today in the modern, movie industry world today, if it evolved into what it is today, and it started out with an old grainy black and white still photo pictures where they had to read the words off of cue cards and know when to clap and when to, I was telling somebody the other day, we need to get them for church. The amen thing, Amen. Clap. All right. We got, people just sit there. We got a boring movie. And so, but it said 1906, the devil introduced his vision. That was his vision. I thought, wow, at the same time that the age was birthed, Amen. At the same time that God was going to do something, only 3 years later, God put his vision on the earth. 1909, Brother Brown was born, and what was it? The devil's vision was in its infancy with no voice. And here was God's vision, his seer for the age, was an infant with no voice. No ministry, right? Brother Bram says this. He says, look at the junction here with Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at the junction in the days of Noah. Marrying, giving in marriage. You see the signpost. What happened? At the same time, God had a prophet on the earth before the end time. Here it is. Listen, always before the end time, when Satan turns loose his impersonators, God sends his prophets. And we are told in the Bible that in the last day your young men shall see visions, and upon my handmaids and maidservants and prophets will appear again on the earth. Vision seers will appear on the earth at the end time. We're at the junction. So now the sheep music is starting to change as of 1906. And so now that things are starting to change in the great drama. It had left just from a stage act, but now it's being broadcast. And so here, and so now then, in 1925, Brother Branham is only 16 years old, and a prophecy goes forth through the Assembly of God Church out on the West Coast and begins to prophesy that William Branham will come up the West Coast. William Branham wasn't even converted at the time. 1925, this prophecy goes forth, and the first word spoken on a movie set that was broadcast on the movie set was in 1927, just a few years, or right around the same year that Brother Branham began to preach, that here come the devil's vision, now it's got a voice. And the first word spoken on the movie set was, wait a minute, you ain't heard nothing yet. 1933, Brother Branham is telling us of things that are to be, gives us seven visions, and basically was telling the world, you haven't seen anything yet. But here just a little while, Adolf Hitler is going to, an Austrian is going to take over in, old devil. In Germany, he began to talk about the Maginot Line. He began to tell about Mussolini. He began to tell of all these things before they ever happened. Amen. So now that in this article that I was reading, it tells us, this is what these movie people were saying, that these words spoken by the movie industry, you haven't heard anything yet. The words were truly prophetic in light of the massive advances taken in the realms of movie sound since that time. Yeah. Oh, they attributed that to a prophecy. Yeah. Oh, but think about it, friends. At the same time that the devil's vision began to prophesy, at the same time God had a vision on the scene that was also going to prophesy. The first color television was put in the homes, was made available for sale, January 1, 1956. Brother Branham, at the same time, 1955, he tells him, you'll make your choice by 56 or you'll be cut off. You'll reject the revival hours of that day. And they turned it down, and Brother Branham comes back in 1957 and tells him they turned it down. Oh, they accepted the devil's vision. Said it's a hybrid. They don't even know whether they're man or woman. That's right. You can hardly tell what sex they belong to by looking at them and listening to them. That's true, friend. I'm not saying that about you Christian women. My voice is going around to many nations, but it's a hybrid. This America has come condemned. And what did she do according to the vision? She selected the wrong person. I don't know how long it'll take to run out, but it will someday. Thus saith the Lord. It will. She's downward move right now. She'll never come back. She's gone. That's right. She's been gone since 1956 when she condemned and turned away God from the great revival hours. And so now we see ourselves in this great drama. This great drama of God. We're in it. People today say, well, this is coming to church and, you know, it's the same old thing. It's mundane. We come to church. We come on Saturday. We come on Sunday morning. We have Sunday afternoon off. Then we go to work. And then on Wednesday we come in, maybe. And then, you know, we come in and we go and it's just, you know, blah, 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 blah. Oh, if we only knew, if we knew what was taking place in this building tonight. If we could look beyond this veil of mortality and see into the supernatural realms, you would see things that would curl your toenails. I mean, it would, your eyes would bug out. You would sit on the edge of your seat. You wouldn't have no fingernails. That's right. If you could see what was happening. Brother Brown tells us how that there are spies. He said, England has spies, Russia has spies, Germany has spies. We have spies, they all got spies. We're spying on them, they're spying on us. Oh, think about it. He said, and then the devil has got spies. He said, and God has angels. Hallelujah. Think about it tonight, friends. The devil's got spies. And those spies are crawling around and they're you know, moving through remember them spies will come to church. And they move in amongst you and they'll sit there next to you and they begin to whisper. They begin to tell you things that, boy, you're sleepy. Boy, you didn't get enough sleep last night. Oh, you've worked hard today. And you'll be sitting there listening to them. What did he say? And we're going to lose you in this one. You're going to miss the best scene of all. And these things are happening. There's spies that are coming. You know, that she really, really don't like you. You know, your husband's been cheating on you. And it's just the devil. They got spies. He's over there. His subterfuge. His counterterrorism. He's doing all these things. He's telling lies and spreading rumors and all these kind of things. And people are listening to him. And he's setting up this car bomb over here. And he's got this thing going on over there. And everything's happening in the supernatural realm. But yet we don't see it. But if God would let us pull back the veil just for a little while. Oh my friend, this thing is a nail biter. I mean, it's a cliffhanger. You're sitting there going, wow, that's really happening? Oh, yeah. Let me just give you a little excerpt, a little insight to how that I come to this. This is in a healing line, Chicago, Illinois, 1953. Brother Ram says, now, would you come, sir? Do you believe with all your heart? Of course, sir. As a brother, there's nothing I could do to help you in any way of healing you. I couldn't do it. And you look like a good, strong man. Perhaps you're not. I don't know. But the Lord Jesus knows you, and he knows me. And now if you believe that he is here, his presence is here, you believe that he is here, it's cancerous condition. And the man sitting there has the same thing. Them demons are screaming one to another for pity, for mercy. They're calling, and so's the angels of God's calling. Oh, could you say, I'm going to tell it myself a little bit. When I was a little boy, I had this thing, man, I tell you what, and still kind of pulls on me a little, but I really like to watch a war movie. I mean, shoot 'em up, bang, bang. I mean, I really liked it. And as far as I was concerned, there was only three kinds of movies. War movies, and war movies. And any way, shape, or form, I mean, I wanted to see the bombs and the explosions and the tanks and the soldiers, and I joined the Marine Corps because I liked it so much. And I just thought that's, and it was in somehow hardwired into my mind. But when I got to thinking about the things of God, that, God, that's in every little boy. That's in every man that's got any steel about him. He wants to be a hero. He wants to be a soldier. He wants to be a defender of the faith. He wants to protect the damsel in distress. That's just built in. He's a provider. He's a protector. That's what's hardwired into him. He can't help himself. And Brother Bam says that the little girl, she wants to be pretty and play with dolls and things like that. That's why she loves wars. I can't even say it. Love movies and stuff. Woof. Man. Sound of Music. Whew. Best part of that movie was when they was doing the shooting and stuff. Man. But you see, He says that them demons screaming for one another, they're calling, and so is the angels of God calling. The battle is here. Now your faith will determine which way it goes. Can't you see, friends, that you've got needs here tonight? I've got needs here tonight. We've got prayer requests out on the airways. There's people, that are watching. This is a dire hour that we live in. Amen. I mean, this is a frightening time that we live in, but we've got needs. And remember, as we find those needs, those demons feel us trying to move into the supernatural realms to get help, and they intercept these messages that are coming across. And when the message comes across, and they hear the message, you know, he listened to a tape today. He was listening to a tape out there on the tree stand, and Brother Bam said, raise his hand if you want to be healed. And he was out on the tree stand raising his hand. He heard a message. He got a message from another dimension, from another world. His faith is rising. We've got to do something. We've got to send in a counterstrike. And so the devil, he'll start throwing everything he can at you. Try to upset your faith. There's a spirit coming from the woman, calling in the audience. I can't tell where it is, see. Demons sympathize. Oh, you think the sympathy was something that we only got? Oh, they know how to tap into those things. He said they know, but let me tell you, the devil knows what the Bible says. He has an educational and intellectual understanding of what the Bible says. And he knows that it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and ever. So he can premeditate what God is going to do. He can premeditate those things. But faith defeats him every time, every place, and under any circumstance. Now watch what he says here. Demons sympathize with one another. They call for help. If they can only reinforce it enough to get this woman to disbelieve, she'll walk off with her same condition. There's something wrong with her if they get her to disbelieve, but if the angel of the Lord can get a hold of her enough to get the vision started, then she'll go away believing and receive. Oh my, think about it. That here's the hour that we live, and now then God is trying to get us to get into a situation where we can entertain angels. He said, what kind of character would we have in order to entertain angels? You couldn't be listening to all the filthy nonsense music and watching all the Hollywood garbage, and you need to get into God's vision. You need to be playing God's kind of music. You need to play the kind of music that God loves to hear, and that He comes near to that, you see. Satan. Well, he's set everything up. He's got everything he needs to make a great show. So Brother Bram says, he's got everything to set and make a great show. But I'm so glad there's a Father in heaven who has his character set too for this great drama. Amen. He's got you set up just exactly where he wants you, friends. He knows Satan has got his plan. He's got it all contrived, and he's devious, and he's trying to manipulate and everything else. What he can do, because he's going to set you up, see? He's going to kidnap you because you're the little damsel in distress. You're the little bride. See, this is a great drama. It's a drama. It's playing out. Where are you tonight, friends? What part of this do we play? You see, when the Antichrist takes them to this decease of everything, even to time, and God is ready in His drama to lift His church into eternity, into the blissful realms of eternal with God Himself. And these old vile bodies will be changed and made into a glorious body. And this corruption will take on immortality and His likeness, and we will stand forever. Amen. Remember our text, it was like we were like those that dream. You know, sometimes, you know, it's like a fantasy. Imagine, one of these days, this is really going to happen, friends. This ain't a movie. This ain't a fairy tale. This ain't pixie dust and you know, some sort of a, you know, Peter Pan. This ain't magic. One of these days, these vile bodies will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And God has got the stage set, and the Antichrist has got his stage set. Oh, just think about it. Surely you know what I'm talking about when you're talking about these silent movies, right? And the old silent movie, there was a villain, right? And he was always dressed in a black cape. And he always, you know, he was... you know, he was always sneaking around, little greedy teeth looking outfit. And then there was the old county, County Mountie looking guy. You know, the old, what was it? What was that guy? He's a Dudley Do-Right, you know. What was it? What was his? He was a Royal Canadian, you know. Any Canadians in the house? Amen. And he had them high boots on, you know, the big suspenders. You know why he wears suspenders? You know? There you go. Hold his britches on. That's why he wore them. And so he had them suspenders on. He had, you know, a big sash across that big old 7-gallon hat on, you know. And my, he was quite the guy. Big old long pistols. Man, he could shoot a mile, you know. He was just had that big white stallion. I don't know what his name was. Trigger or something, you know. And he was the good guy. But then you could have the good guy and you could have the bad guy, but there had to be something that they wanted. And, you know, money wasn't going to be the thing, or power wasn't the thing. It was a woman. Every good fight was over a woman. Sure, you know that. Every good fight's over a woman. I mean, he got to defend his honor. And so now, but here was the, you know, the good guy, the old do right, you know, and he comes to the little damsel and, you know, she looks at him and, you know, oh, she just, oh, with her little fan, you know, it's a little Southern Belle. And he's going, good evening, dear. And she's going, hello, Dudley. You know, and they're just so in love, you know. And he goes, I have to go into the mountains. I'll come again. I'm going away. I'm going to build a cabin for us. I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Oh, yeah. And then what happens? And then here it comes, you know, he goes off riding off. Brum, 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 brum. Off out there, you know, and he's looking at the mountains and he sees the elk and the deer and he's out there and he's singing a song and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that real yucky stuff. And then all of a sudden here comes the other guy. You know, and he comes in. He's, I gotta get my little cape on here. Imagine this is black. Hello, my darling. Who are you? You know. He's old, greedy teeth, ugly looking outfit. And so he starts making her all these promises. He says, come, I will buy you this and I will buy you that. I will give you jewels and I'll give you prestige and I will make you my wife. And I don't want to be your wife. He goes, but I will buy you shoes. Now, ooh, shoes. Shoes. I'll buy you all kinds of shoes. Hundreds of them. Oh, shoes. And then she goes, no, you get away from me. I don't want you. You're evil. And so he goes, I'll have you or no one will have you. Friend, let me tell you, the devil, he's pulling out all the stops. He pulls out all the stops. And so now then, you know, cause the, you know, do right. He's gone. You know, he's up in the hills. He's gone to prepare a place for you. It doesn't seem like he knows anything about you, but yet he knows everything about you. Amen. And so he's off in the hills and he's doing his part because he's over all creation. You know, he's the watchman of the whole valley and everything. And he's the law of everything over, he's over it all. He helps the little, you know, the little maiden and he delivers the little, you know, the little deer is stuck, you know, and he delivers him off and oh, he's doing everything good, you know.
Right.
And, you know, cause it's got to make an interesting movie. For the kids and everything. But then, here comes this guy. He slips in. Unawares. The little bride. She doesn't see him coming. He slips around. He slips around. Sneaks up behind her. And he takes his little thing. He's going to put the chloroform on her, you know. Oh, now this is going to get bad. It's going to get bad real fast. And so now he takes her and he goes out there and he puts her in a barn. And now he's got, you know, he's going to tell her all these things. And then she comes to and she's tied up. You let me go. Oh, Dudley's going to find you. He's going to rip you from limb to limb.
Yeah.
You know, and she's all just like this. And he goes, I've heard enough of you. And he goes, you will marry me or Dudley will die. No, no, I'll never marry you. Oh, well, then you will die. I don't care. And he goes, I know how I'll do it. And so he takes her and he gouges him. And he takes her and he takes her out. You know where he takes her, don't you? The railroad tracks. How did we know that? Takes her out to the railroad tracks, puts her on the tracks, ties her down out in the middle of the trestle bridge. And then he goes and he sneaks off. And he now is going to be riding the train. And so he gets in the train. He starts throwing the coal to it. He's stoking the fire. You know, she's laying there. Whoa. That was a close one there. That got you, didn't it? Wow, that was neat. Sound effects and everything. Stay away. And so now, oh, you think, oh, this is funny, but I'm not doing it to joke. I mean, it is funny, but that's not, remember what I said? I'll get you to laugh. The crying's coming a little bit. You see. And so now, here she is. She's out there. She's on the tracks. She's fighting for everything she can. She's stuck. She's tied down. And he's over there stoking it, you know, and she's got to make the movie last a little longer. And so we're down there and she's down there and he's, all of a sudden you hear, Dudley's up there going, I don't remember a train supposed to be here this time of day. Oh well. Dum 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 dum. And then she's down there. He goes, there ain't no supposed to be no train this time of day. And so he's out there and he gets out on the edge of a cliff and he looks down. And about that time. He looks down there and he sees him. Come here, Trigger! And he gives one of those, I can't whistle like that. And he jumps on that horse. He's riding. He's going. And now the music's playing and everybody knows because it's a symphony, you know. He's jumping over trees, you know, riding down off the side of the mountain. She's screaming, help me, help me, help me. She's going to get run over here in just a minute. And old devil, he's riding that train. Woo, woo! And it's coming down. Oh my goodness. Everybody's sitting there. And we're all sitting there on the number. She's going to die. There's no way he can make it. And he rides with it. And he can't ride his horse out on the trestle bridge. So he jumps off the horse. And he goes running down that thing. Slow motion now. It's a drama. It's playing itself out. Oh, he gets down there. What does he do? Pulls out his big old two-edged king sword. Hallelujah. He runs down there just in the nick of time. But then said he waits for the last second. Oh, he comes down and that knife comes down. He cuts the fetters loose from her and he picks her up into his arms and you know, she wants to embrace me. He said, we ain't got time for this girl. We got to go. Yeah. And so here's the train coming. He picks her up. He takes off running. They're coming. He's running fast as he can go. And he gets right to the edge of the train trestle. And here comes the train. And he jumps off. Woo, boom. And they fall down in the grass. And they're laying there. And the train's going. Yeah. Goes right on out. It's a hellbound train. It's a hellbound train. Oh, but friends are laying there. What has he done? He saved her. He saved her. But what got his attention was she cried for help. It was her cry for help. Oh, I'm here to tell you, friend, tonight, it's time for the little bride. If you've ever, hey man, I'm telling you, these things are, they, you know, it's a little silly story, but it's to get your attention. I ain't lost a one of you. I can tell you right now. No sleepers tonight. But what is it? It's a time, I'm telling you friends, that this thing has gotten so dangerous. It's gotten to the last moment of the last second. This thing has only got a certain amount of time and it's going to play out. And we're right at the very last of the last of the last. And the Savior is running down in these last few moments to rescue His little bride. But is she crying for help? Oh, she's popping pills. Every kind of medicine, every kind of mental stuff. And, you know, she's just involved in so many things and, you know, societies and situations. And, oh, my friends, if this is an hour that there's ever a time that people ought to be getting desperate and crying out for help, there's never been a day like today we ought to be screaming, God, help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Oh, let me tell you, my Bible says, amen, that his ear, amen, can hear the cry of the righteous. And it's time for the Church of the Living God to begin to cry out for God, begin to cry out for help, because there's none can help you, no, not one. Oh, save the lovely Lord Jesus. Oh, there ought to be somebody. What did he do? But he come riding down from glory with a sharp two-edged sword. He was here to break every fetter tonight. He'll loose you. If you think, oh, I can't, I'm not going to make it. I'm too far gone. I'm undone. I'm lost. Oh, let me tell you. You ain't cried loud enough. He can hear. Amen. He hears your faintest cry. And he will answer by and by. Amen. Oh, let me tell you, friends. Amen. God hears. When you cry out to God, he can only hear the cry of a sincere heart. He can only recognize a hand that is raised in faith. Brother Branham said, if you raise your hand, he said, does it mean anything? He said, it's a matter of life and death if you mean it. If you mean it, then God sees that hand. It will bring Jesus on the scene. A sincere heart. He said, why? Because a supernatural power on the inside defied the laws of science and you broke the gravitational pull to raise your hand up to a higher power. Hallelujah. Oh, what are we doing tonight? Don't let your hands hang down. Oh, don't give up. This is no time. This is the great drama. Remember, we saw the end of the movie already. We saw it already. We've read it in the Bible. We read the back of the book. Every promise, every story in the Bible ended with a good ending. Every one of them. Read Ruth. Read Esther. I mean, what was it? That's what I'm telling you. And the inspiration of this come from the Bible. And in the Bible, God always sends his kinsman redeemer. God always sends, amen, his deliverer on the scene. Why? Because he's God in more faith. Amen. He's coming on the scene. Amen. You'll bring him on plain view tonight. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. The book is now being finished. The last line will be wrote across it someday. And she'll be closed up. Then time will be no more. And there's a great drama being set. And angels are standing over the skies watching. And you know what the drama is? The actors are ready. You can see them acting. You can see the evil one acting. You can see the villain of the play. He's come down on the scene with his cunningness to deceive. But you can also see the raptured church making herself ready. Amen. It is a great scene. Amen. It's a great scene tonight. Oh, the raptured church is making herself ready. She's getting ready for that great day. Amen. Amen. Oh my. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just pray now. Oh God, as we see this act beginning to unfold, we see our part, we see the hour that we live in, we see the desperation, the time, the hour that we live in, oh God, that, Lord Jesus, come on the scene, Father, we pray. Lord, we know that you've never failed me yet. No, never fail me. Oh God, I know you won't fail me now. I know you won't leave us nor forsake us. Lord, but you come down from the skies of glory, riding on that stallion, Lord, to come down with your two-edged sword. Oh God, to deliver us in this last hour, oh God. that great beast rider of death is fixing to make his final ride. But we realize, oh Lord Jesus, that that great eagle anointing is upon the church to lift us unto the skies, oh God. The raptured church is making herself ready for the body change, Lord. Oh God, come on the scene, we pray, Lord Jesus. Come on the scene, we ask. Lord, may I say like the little woman, help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, God. Help me, Lord. Oh, Jesus, help me. Help me. It's not too hard to say, friend. If you've got a need tonight, make it known. Just say, help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, God. I need your help. I need your help to make it through another day. I need your help to get here tomorrow. Oh, I feel like it's the last of the last. My strength is all gone. Where will we muster the strength? Oh, may God send his power into the church of the living God. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name we asked it. Amen. Oh, I really like that song that Brother Reagan sings there. It's a little fast one. He ain't never done me nothing but good. You remember it? You do it like none other, brother. I appreciate you. Amen. Well, go ahead. I can't do it. I'll fill in. That's my part. I'm just a fill in.
You can help.
Okay.
Oh, well, he ain't never, never done me nothing, never done me nothing. No doubt about it. Well, Satan cursed his body from his feet to his head. Then told him all his children and his cattle were dead. Then Job's wife said, why don't you curse your God and die? But Job said, woman, you speak like a foolish child because he ain't never, never done me nothing ever. As my Savior, I cast my lot with the trouble of fear when I started out for heaven. Soon I was forsaken. My friends looked at my wrong. But the good Lord walked right along beside me. He never left me alone. He fed me when I was hungry. He cheered me when I was sad. Well, he has been the dearest friend that I have ever had. Oh, they built a fire around his feet and tied him to the stake. The fire could not consume him, so they pierced him with a sword. Blood ran down, put out the fire, still he praised the Lord. He said, all these years I served him, he's always done me good. I won't repent and I won't recant, just tell me why I should.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! victory. Nothing but good. Oh, he never failed me. He never left me alone. He never forsaken me. Oh, he's my God. He's my Savior, my King, my Lord. Oh, he's my liege. Amen. He's my high priest. Amen. My sacrifice. Hallelujah. I'm glad he's on my side tonight. Amen. Oh, I just love him with all my heart. Amen. Maybe you have a need this evening. I would never want to close a service, but would give you opportunity to be prayed for. Amen. This is a dark hour, friends. Let me tell you. We just saw just over the last couple of months, just sickness, death, hurt, pain, things. I just become more and more aware that humanity is one frail, frail individual. Our lives are but a vapor, the Bible says. But you know, Brother Branham quoted Billy Graham. He said, a man is invincible until God is finished with him. I like that. I mean, we're invincible. Amen. Invincible. But really, friends, we don't know when God is finished with us. Our lives, they come, we go, we enter the stage, we leave the stage. There'll be another. God will take his man, he'll take his woman, his spirit will move on, and there'll be a pick up another one. There's spaces in this auditorium here this evening that there was believers used to sit in those places. And they're not here no more by whatever reason. They've passed on. They've crossed the veil. They've left the church. They've backslid on God. Many times we ask ourselves, am I next? Weren't it for the grace of God, it'd be one of us. Many of us have come within just a spider's web of crossing the veil. Many times. And sometimes we come so close and didn't even know it. Until after the fact. We don't even know. But what God will call us home. I was listening to a tape the other day. It just struck me. I never heard it before in my life. I heard Brother Ram say this. He said, in this generation there will only be 10 make it. Brother said, Brother Branham. He said, that's right. He said, a generation ends every day. I never heard that before. But a generation ends every day. You don't know. When your generation is going to be over, it ends every day. A generation ends every day. I never thought of it like that. Friends, are we ready? Are we ready to meet God? Oh, friend, I'm telling you, if you're not ready, cry for help. Amen. Cry for help like you've never cried before. You don't know. I would never say those things to scare you. Lord knows, I kind of went down out of the box tonight, but that's kind of the way we do things. But I trust it got the message across to you somehow. Because we love you. We love your soul. We want you to make it. We want you to make it. More than anything, we want you to make it.
Amen.
We're going to close in a word of prayer. The brothers will sing. The musicians will stay right along. You'll keep worshiping as long as you like. I tell them down home, I ain't never closed the service yet. I'll pray with you and you can go home whenever you want to. But this service is perpetual. You sing and pray and worship God until you know that your heart's clear before the Lord. And we'll be here to pray for you now. Just don't miss that opportunity. But, you know, we're not here to pull altar calls and pull on you. If you haven't made that up in your mind already, then somebody else will just talk you out of it. When you've got your heart set, and you know of an assurity that God will meet you there. Brother Brown says, then you take the everlasting grip on the rock of ages. And you don't let go. Amen. So I'm going to pray for you and let you go this evening. I won't drag it out any longer. Heavenly Father, love these people.
Love the spirit that we have here. And Lord, just such an anointing to preach. And Father, this prophet is subject to the spirit of the prophet. And Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that we said something, Lord, in a way that it would catch the attention of an elect seed of God. Lord, that it would never be just a show of some kind of silliness. Lord, God knows I'd never do that, though our personality is maybe a little bit of a cut up sometimes. It's not no time to joke. These people are, they didn't come here to joke. They didn't come here to be entertained, Lord. I pray, Heavenly Father, this evening, that, Lord, that the Holy Ghost was our entertainment, that it stirred us to think and to realize that how desperate an hour that we live in. When the devil's vision would prophesy of a time when that the movie industry would, even in the scripture, was spoken of, and how that those women would watch those things and that they'd actually begin to pull their hair out and begin to scream because of the things that they saw, and it would lead them down into the great tribulation because of what the devil's vision had been given to them. But Lord, we realize that you have a vision tonight that would call a raptured bride into a preview, and we'd get in line to move up into the heavenly atmosphere, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we just pray that you'd use these little thoughts, Lord, this little thought of this, the symphony and the drama, Lord, to help these people to face tomorrow's trials, Lord. Lord, we don't take thought of tomorrow. Tomorrow and its evils will take care of itself. Lord, maybe it'll help them take care of today's trials, Lord, before they leave this place. Lord, you know every heart, and we just commit them to you. In the lovely name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I am thine, O Lord, and I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. And I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to
and oh, the pure delight of a single hour and before for the throne I stand.
It looked as if I would suffer defeat.
plan and move forward to put me away. I drifted so far. Would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? I knew my destruction was a matter of time, but Jesus appeared and said, this one is mine. Now I'm safe.
Savior Jesus.
kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. I want to sing it again. Jesus.
We've heard a lot of stuff today, but that's name. This name.
There's just something Jesus says something about your name Jesus Jesus you're my Savior Jesus like the fragrance and teachers have made their appeal, fighting as soldiers on this great battlefield, and when to their leading my poor heart did yield, all I can say, praise God, there's something. There's something within me that keeps holding these reins. There's something within me, oh, I just can't explain. There's something within me, I just can't explain. All that I know, praise God, there's something within me. There's something within me that keeps holding my reins. There's something within me, oh, I just can't explain. There's something within me burning like a flame. All that I know, praise God, there's something within me. I met God one Thursday, my heart feeling bad, my heart heavy laden, oh, with the bowed down head. He lifted my burdens and he made me glad. I'll let the world know that there's something. Something within me, it keeps pouring rain. Something within me.
Amen. As we go in the fear of the Lord, let us sing this song. We all know it. How many times have I heard that line? They say, preacher, I've still got plenty of time. But what you gonna do if he comes tonight? What you gonna do? You better get in while there's still time. There's still room in this Gentile bride. What you gonna do when the church is gone? What you gonna do? People all around me, they still say, I just don't believe you gotta live that way. But what you gonna do if you've been wrong when the church is gone? You better turn around and take another look. Be sure your name is in God's book. What you gonna do when the church is gone? What you gonna do? Amen. What you gonna do when the church is gone? No more saints, no more songs to lift you up when you're feeling down, to help you turn your life around. You better get in while there's still time. There's still room in this Gentile bride. What you gonna do when the church is gone? What you gonna do? People all around me, they still say, just don't believe you gotta live that way. But what you gonna do if you've been wrong when this church is gone? You better turn around. Sure, your name is in God's book. What you gonna do when the church is gone? What you gonna do? What you gonna do when the church is gone? No more saints, no more songs to lift you up.